would agree to pretty much anything.
"I'd ask how you've been,"
Adams said with the slightest hint of a smile on his face.
"But from your Instagram photos, it looks as if you're having quite the adventure."
His voice sounded different on the last word, dragging out the syllables in a strange way. It wasn't the same as when he'd described Aurora. There was an edge of something darker. It would have nagged at her if she'd let it, but she didn't. Just smiled sweetly at him and tried very hard to ignore the thump of her heart in her chest as she looked him straight in the eye. "Yes," she said, making an effort to keep her voice from faltering. "They're part of a bucket list, actually, the adventures." One of his eyebrows lifted a notch at that.
"I see. And you're crossing these things off."
His voice lifted slightly.
"Alone?"
She smiled. She couldn't help it. She couldn't say for sure what that strange quality to his voice was, but it did sound a little like jealousy. She couldn't believe she had ever doubted Jake. She was never going to tell him that his idea had been a stroke of genius, of course. But his idea had been a stroke of genius. She shook her head, but he spoke again before she could.
"Tosh."
Adam had always been furiously jealous of Tosh, refusing to believe that he and Lydia had no romantic interest in each other for the entire time they were together, despite Lydia's constant protestations that they were family. In fairness, Tosh had absolutely played on it, often blowing her a kiss goodbye or throwing his arm around her shoulders, the idiot. She shook her head. And as she went to reply, she heard Jake's voice in her head. "He needs to think you're moving on, or he'll never realise how much he's lost." And so she smiled, feeling the slightest shift in the power balance as she looked him square in the eye and said, "Actually, I've met someone." Somewhere in her brain, she vaguely registered Jake's other words about the power of subtlety and of suggestion. But when she saw the small flicker in Adam's right eye, she couldn't resist hamming it up. With every word she spoke, she imagined firing small shots into the fabric of Adam's happiness without her. "He's a sportsman, actually. Very fit. Just retired from international competition earlier this year. And we're having a really fun time together." "Your move." Adam's eye flickered a moment more, his Adam's apple lurching into a swallow as he paused a beat and then replied,
"I did struggle to imagine Tosh on a horse."
Ha! She had him. He was sitting up and taking notice, just like Jake had said. She couldn't wait to tell him. "So, how have you been?" she asked breezily, tucking a stray strand of hair behind one ear. "How's Aurora?" He smiled then, and if she hadn't known him so well, she might have missed the almost imperceptible narrowing of his eyes before he replied.
"Amazing, thank you. She's certainly keeping me on my toes."
They both laughed, and Lydia couldn't have said which of them was the least genuine. Just as she was about to go in for the kill, Evelina swept over to their table, all brash gold jewellery and dyed red hair, placing a plate in front of each of them, but with eyes only for Adam. Evelina had mentioned once that Adam was the spitting image of her oldest son in France, and that made Lydia even more uncomfortable with the shameless, hungry manner in which the older woman fawned over him.
"For you, Adam,"
she said, gesturing to the steak sandwich she'd placed in front of him, which Lydia couldn't help but notice had arrived with a side salad topped with a radish carved expertly into the shape of a rose.
"Enjoy,"
Evelina said again to Adam, not even looking in Lydia's direction, as she slid a cheese panini in front of her, and then she walked away, her back to Lydia the entire time. Lydia chuckled. "Thought she might have warmed to me a bit now we're not together."
"What do you mean?"
Adam asked, sandwich paused partway to his mouth. "That rose." He blew out a breath before taking a bite, chewing pointedly and swallowing before he replied.
"It's just part of the garnish."
Lydia gestured to her own plate. Mine didn't even come with garnish. But he just looked at her blankly and carried on eating his sandwich. Lydia nibbled at hers too, trying to swallow past the strange lump in her throat. When she thought about Adam, she only seemed to remember the good. She hadn't once in the entirety of her 2 years without him thought about how small he had made her feel sometimes. Jake would have laughed about the rose. They would have laughed together. She shook the feeling away and ate, only managing half the panini before pushing the plate away. She'd always hated to eat too much in front of Adam. She had loved when he'd described her as a delicate eater. She wouldn't have liked him to know about the 5 full scoops of ice cream she'd inhaled the previous night. Adam finished his sandwich and sat back with a satisfied grunt, popping the artful rose into his mouth as he laid his untouched cutlery across his plate.
"So,"
he said, looking over at her with a look she wasn't at all sure she liked.
"I wanted to discuss us."
Lydia's mouth turned to dust. "Us?" He nodded slowly, his gaze sending shivers down her spine.
"It's been 2 years. 2 years yesterday, in fact."
Lydia knew this, of course, hence the 5 full scoops of ice cream. It shouldn't have come as a shock at all. And yet, somehow, when the next words came from Adam's mouth, Lydia felt a crack form somewhere inside her, the tiniest of fissure lines at first, which grew and spread until her chest was gaping and all the hope she'd been holding inside was lost to the atmosphere forever.
"I'm going to file for divorce."
She couldn't reply. He continued, dipping his head slightly to meet her eyes.
"It's time. I'm hoping that you'll agree."
She nodded. She couldn't have formed the words if she'd tried.
"It should be straightforward, my lawyer says."
He hadn't moved an inch, eyes still trained on her.
"Since we've done the asset thing and we don't have dependent children."
They'd sorted the money out the previous year when Lydia had been forced to sell their house. It had seemed the sensible thing to do. Adam had been more generous than he'd needed to be, and Lydia had accepted his offer without complaint. After all, it was never his money she had been interested in.
"So, what do you say?"
Adam asked, his mouth edging into that one-sided smile that could make her do absolutely anything.
"Shall we do this?"
Lydia absolutely, definitely did not want to do this. But what other choice did she have? She and Jake had a plan now, and she could feel that it was just starting to work. But getting difficult about the divorce wasn't going to help that plan any. She decided she would just have to trust the process. So she sat back in her chair, looked Adam straight in the eye, and smiled. "Let's do this." And to her credit, she managed to keep up the pretense through another bout of small talk, a misplaced joke or two from Adam, and the most awkward goodbye half-hug that had ever been exchanged. In fact, she didn't let her face drop even a millimetre until she was striding back down the hedgerow, legs taking her back to the car park almost without input from her brain, while her fingers dug deep in her bag to find her phone. She navigated quickly to Jake's number, tapping frantically and finally allowing a lump to form in her throat. "Lydia, SOS!" exclamation mark. "Lydia, need an adventure, ASAP." Chapter 16. It was most unusual for them to have an adventure on a weekday afternoon, but when Jake replied almost immediately to her text with an idea for what they could cross off the list that very day, Lydia had jumped at the chance. She needed to take her mind off the conversation with Adam and, crucially, she needed to avoid sitting at home and being interrogated by her mother after she'd accidentally mentioned she was meeting him as she rushed out of the door. "Bring swimming stuff," Jake had messaged, along with the address of a leisure centre. "I'll meet you there in an hour." And she'd known by that exactly what the adventure would be. Only two of the things on the list were water-based, and one of those, so far as her knowledge went, required the actual sea. And though on another day the idea of throwing herself from a great height would have scared her, right then she almost welcomed it. Jake was already there when she pulled into the car park, leaning against the red brick of the centre's walls in that easy way of his, the way that always seemed to make her feel a little better.
"Ready to take the plunge?" he asked, and despite his smirk, she smiled in return.
"Yes and no." His smile took a turn towards sympathetic.
"Want to talk about it?"
Lydia shook her head. "Not yet." And as was his way, he didn't push, didn't pry, just kept smiling at her as he pushed that unruly mop of hair out of his eyes and hauled his backpack onto one shoulder.
"Come on, Lil, let's do this."
She was so relieved at the distraction that she didn't even flinch at his use of her fake name. He led her through the centre's double doors, straight into the thick smell of chlorine, but then he took a left towards the changing room entrance instead of right towards the reception desk, and she looked up at him in confusion. "Don't we have to pay?" He turned back to look at her.
"The diving pool's not open today. I'm calling in a favour."
"A favour?"
"The centre manager is an old friend."
She snorted a laugh. "Another old friend? Do you know everyone in Leeds?" His eyes all but closed with his smile.
"I feel I need to remind you yet again that I played sport at an international level."
His eyes moved towards a flight of stairs.
"I spent years of my life training here. You get to know people."
And then, as if on cue, a woman in gym gear thundered down the stairs next to them, genuine delight on her face as she saw Jake. She was older, maybe 55 or more, but looked good on it. She was certainly wearing her running shorts better than Lydia ever had in her life, and for a moment or two, Lydia felt horribly self-conscious. But then the other woman spoke, and her tone was so warm and welcoming that Lydia forgot all about her discomfort. "You must be Lily," she said with a grin almost as big as one of Jake's. Lydia smiled in answer. She couldn't even bring herself to nod.
"I'm Jem," the woman said. "I've been the manager here since this one was in knee socks and braces."
She motioned to Jake. Jake shrugged, still smiling at Jem.
"It was a much cooler look than it sounds."
Jem laughed lightly, sharing a conspiratorial wink with Lydia before addressing them both.
"The diving pool isn't being used today, so take as long as you need. And the hydro pool is free until this evening if you want to relax afterwards."
She smiled, directing her next words to Lydia.
"Jake told me about your list. I think it's amazing."
And with that, she patted each of them lightly on the shoulder and then she was gone, skipping back up the staircase with the agility of someone half her age. Lydia waited until Jem was out of earshot before she turned to Jake and raised a single eyebrow.
"Are all your old friends women?"
He barked a laugh.
"Yep, that's me. Girl in every port."
"I could believe it," she teased, but that wasn't true at all. She had rarely heard Jake talk about women, other than the extremely brief conversation they'd had about his ex. And these old friends he kept wheeling out looked at him in exactly the same way that he looked at them, with absolute fondness and not even the slightest hint of lust. She couldn't help wondering what it took to get his motor running. But he only shook his head, his scar pulling that easy grin off centre.
"Jem's old enough to be my mother, and Joe literally used to babysit me."
He cocked his head to the side, hair falling forwards over his face.
"The reason people like me is because I'm nice."
He started to move, looking back to make sure she was following him.
"I'm nice and I'm polite and I help people out where I can."
He stopped just short of the changing room door.
"People remember that."
He pushed through the doors, stopping again where the tiled path split, males to the left, females right.
"I'll see you on the other side," he said,
and he nodded vaguely in that direction with the slight smile that Lydia had come to associate with anticipation. Her heart leapt. The changing rooms were busy, but Lydia found a corner to peel off her outer layers, feeling very smug indeed that she'd thought to wear her swimming things under her clothes. She felt a little shy about having to walk around half-naked in public, let alone in front of Jake, but she hadn't worn a one-piece swimming costume since she'd swum with school in year 8, and so she didn't have too much of a choice. In the end, she was just glad that the elastic in her aging blue tankini was still holding, and she wrapped a towel around herself quickly, shoving the rest of her things in a locker and buckling the key around her wrist. Jake was leaning on the tile of the wall at the poolside, as casual as she had ever seen anyone, all cool surf boy hair and tropical print board shorts with his towel hanging loosely around his neck. Something about the brightness of his smile and the broadness of his shoulders made her stomach flip, though she reasoned that the feeling was more likely to be anxiety than anything deeper. It had been quite a day.
"Ready?"
he asked when she approached, and the question made her stomach flip again. She forced a smile. "As I'll ever be." And he smiled in return, leading her around the back of the main pool and up a short flight of steps that led to a much stiller, much deeper blue pool with a full range of diving boards along one wall. The shortest boards were only a metre or so off the water, and then the visible steps of a tower led up and up and up, higher than the height of an average-sized house.
"That's the one," Jake said as his eyes followed her gaze. "That fella right at the top is the 10-metre board."
Lydia tried to swallow, but the action played out as an audible gulp, and Jake turned to her when he heard it.
"You've got this," he said, laying one hand on her bare shoulder,
and the contact calmed her somehow. Just a little, just enough to take the edge off the thundering of her heart.
"So,"
he continued, that damn scar pulling at his smile,
"do you want to work up from the smaller heights or just go for it?"
Lydia took a deep breath in, heart jumping and skipping in her chest as her eyes followed the line of the tower right up to the top. "Well," she said, "I only want to do this once, so I'm going to say go for it."
"Yes,"
Jake practically squealed.
"You are amazing."
She'd have smiled at that if she were properly listening, but as it was, she couldn't focus on much more than the grip of nausea in her throat and the roar of her pulse in her ears. "Let's get this over with," she said to herself, and she had no idea whether she'd said it out loud or not until she heard Jake speak, more quietly than usual, right next to her.
"Have you done anything like this before?"
She couldn't help but laugh, though the sound caught in her throat. "Of course not. I'm not crazy." But maybe she was, to be even considering this nonsense. Jake's laugh was softer, though the curve of his smile hitched higher.
"I'm assuming you can swim."
She fixed him with a look, but that only made him laugh again.
"Are you a strong swimmer?"
"I mean, I don't mean to brag," she said, her teeth beginning to chatter with nerves. "But I did get my 800-metre badge in, like, 1991.
Jake beamed. "Then you have nothing to worry about."
And then he gently talked her through it, step by step. How she should keep her spine straight and her legs together and her arms by her sides and remember to breathe beforehand like she would somehow forget. Although, in his defence, at that moment, she did feel a little like she might forget, like she might never breathe again were she to lose concentration during the very deliberate act of filling and emptying her lungs. She just had to do it. Focus on how good it would feel to finally have Adam back in her arms and just jump. That was the only way. With a sudden surge of motivation, she unwrapped her towel and set it down on one of the benches built into the wall around the diving area, so preoccupied by dread that she completely forgot to feel self-conscious about her body. Then she began to climb, taking the steps cautiously, one at a time, looking only at the next step and never out to see how far up she was. The steps went on and on, and after a while her thighs began to burn, but she welcomed it, almost, as a distraction from the fear that was nipping at her spine. And then, all of a sudden, there were no more steps, just the sudden openness of the beamed roof which stole all the air from her lungs as she crept to the edge of the platform and looked down. Her eyes found the deep blue of the water below, and as her head began to spin and pound, she grabbed onto the rail beside her. It was high, really high, so high she felt as if she couldn't breathe. She took a step back from the edge, still gripping the rail, and looked down at Jake, or at least a much smaller version of Jake than she was used to. He was smiling up at her. Steady, like he believed completely that she was fine, as if she would survive the fall. But she wasn't so sure she agreed. She wondered how Aga would feel about losing another child, and all at once the grief hit her like a fist, like it always did, tears blurring together the blues of the water below. "I can't!" she shouted to him, a shake to her voice that she couldn't control. "I can't do it!" But he only nodded once confidently.
"You can. You're just scared to."
"Obviously."
"Well, yeah."
He laughed at that, and the sound of it carried strangely, the tiles and the water bouncing echoes around even after he had stopped.
"I believe in you, Lily Bennett."
Ironic, Lydia thought, considering Jake absolutely should not believe anything she had to tell him about Lily Bennett. She edged back to the front of the platform with a sigh, not quite ready to let go, repeating Jake's instructions over and over in her head. His smile began to border on a smirk.
"Want me to come do it first?"
"No."
"Sure."
"Yes."
She tried to let go of the rail, but her fingers were clamped fast.
"But could you come up here and push me off?"
He laughed.
"No. But I will come up there."
"Fine."
He disappeared from view then, the slap of his feet on the wet tiles still audible over the pounding of her pulse. And when she couldn't hear those either, she closed her eyes and tried her best to steady her breathing. "Just one jump," she told herself. "It'll be over in a second," she told herself. But none of that did anything to loosen the grip of her fist around the metal rail. The only thing that did was when Jake came up behind her and started speaking in that ridiculously calm way of his, the way that made her feel like he could probably convince her to do anything.
"I'm not going to push you off," he said,
slowly unfurling her fingers from the rail and moving them to his own hand.
"I don't need to do that because you, Lily Bennett, can do this."
He guided her to the very edge of the platform, moving so slowly that she didn't notice it happening until she was nearly all the way there.
"Trust me."
She almost laughed. In fact, she would have laughed, but anxiety stole the sound clean out of her throat. Instead, she stood in silence, concentrating on nothing except the sound of Jake's voice as he performed some kind of voodoo magic on her. Slowly, so slowly, she crept forwards until her toes were curling around the very edge of the platform.
"Now, I'm going to count to three," Jake's voice was saying. "And when I get to three, you're going to take a deep breath and then you're going to jump. One, two, three."
But Lydia had jumped on two. Chapter 17. It took longer than Lydia expected to hit the water. Her heart leapt into her throat as she jumped, a rush of panic seizing her around the ribs as she fought to stop her arms flailing, tucking them hard into her sides before the impact. And when she hit, it did feel like an impact, like slamming into something much more substantial than mere water as she was plunged helplessly into the depths of the pool. Her self-preservation instinct kicked in at once and she kicked to the surface, heart beating so fast she feared it might burst out of her chest.
And then she was there, at the surface, treading water frantically as she gasped for air, all to the sound of Jake whooping and cheering from the 10-metre board. She rubbed as much water out of her eyes as she could and then swam for the side, reaching for it with grateful arms as the rush of adrenaline began to clench at her stomach. She freed her bottoms from where they had become wedged up the crack of her arse and then turned back to look at Jake, who was standing exactly where she had been, on the edge of the platform. She gave him a thumbs up and he grinned in return, then turned away until only his toes had any contact with the platform. Then, before she even had time to question what he was doing, he leapt backwards, folding his body into an imperfect tuck in midair before straightening back out and diving arms first into the deep blue pool. Bloody show off. He was still grinning when he resurfaced, flicking water from his hair before his expression changed to one of curiosity. He swam towards a point in the water, grabbed at something, and then looked back towards Lydia, one eyebrow raised. She strained to see what it was he'd found, and as she did, he raised his arm in the water, holding a scrap of fabric between two fingers as the cheekiest smile she'd ever seen on him took over his whole face. It was right around the time that she noticed her tankini top was missing and that she was naked from the waist up. She would have been quite happy for the ground to open up and swallow her right there and then. Jake tossed it to her in between hoots of laughter, and though for a moment she was torn between putting it back on and strangling him with it, she eventually chose the former, turning away from him as she slipped the sodden fabric over her head and adjusted it back into place. He was still laughing when he swam up next to her a few moments later, even after she'd sent a small wave of water splashing into his face. He just shook himself off like a wet dog and grinned at her.
"So, how was that?"
she harrumphed. "Terrible." But that wasn't strictly true. Now that the anxiety was beginning to drain from her, she actually felt kind of elated. While she hadn't enjoyed the fall, not one bit, nor the unexpected nudity, of course, she had done it. This felt like her biggest challenge so far, and she hadn't chickened out, not even when she had really wanted to. She couldn't wait to put it on Instagram for Adam to see. But wait. "I didn't get a photo," she said, trying to keep the sulk out of her voice, but when she looked over at Jake, he was smiling.
"I told you to trust me," he said, with a movement that was almost a wink, and then he pulled himself up and out of the pool.
She hadn't noticed the tattoo on his back before that moment, and now she wondered how that was possible. It looked like a tree, just 3 or 4 inches wide, with sections stacked on top of each other, like vertebrae, almost all the way up his spine. It moved as he did, twisting and contracting with his stride, and she couldn't take her eyes off it. It felt like a tattoo with a story behind it, a story she would be very interested to hear. She watched as he skipped back over to the tower, taking the steps 2 at a time until he reached the very top, when he made a grab for something at the side of the tower and then came all the way back down, waving his phone triumphantly. She couldn't help but smile. He put his phone on the bench next to their towels and then gestured for her to get out of the pool.
"Fancy trying out the other boards?" he asked with a ludicrous waggle of his eyebrows.
"Absolutely not," she huffed. "I did it. I'm done."
"Not the massive ones," he said, shaking his head slightly.
"I mean like this." And then he set back off at that pace, somewhere between a walk and a run, right around the side of the pool and onto one of the low springboards. Without so much as a slight slowing of his stride, he jumped once and then took off, flinging every limb wide like a starfish before falling into the pool with a splash. Lydia couldn't stop herself laughing, and as if her body was making its own decision, it set off walking too, following the path Jake had taken and then going further, right around the back of the tower to the identical springboard on the other side.
She was less fluid in her movements than Jake had been, but no more hesitant, and as she bounced once on the end and then flung herself up into a cannonball, she felt a rush of something in her chest that was slowly beginning to feel familiar. She was having fun. Before Jake, she couldn't remember the last time she'd felt like this. With Ollie, perhaps, when she was younger, although even then she'd always felt as if she had to play the role of the sensible parent. She'd had a lot to prove, finding herself unexpectedly pregnant in her teens, only a few months after her sister's death. She was rebelling, people had said, going off the rails. It was only to be expected, they'd said, under the circumstances. But that hadn't been true at all. The two of them had taken every precaution, but baby Ollie had been determined to be conceived, and Lydia and Adam, once they'd come to terms with the idea, could not have been more thrilled about it. Still, people believed only what they wanted to, and there had been a lot of people who, she felt, had been waiting for her to fail. Friends, colleagues, even her family at times, though they had been more adept at hiding it. She'd been so determined to prove them wrong that she'd never quite allowed herself to drop her guard. But right now, doing synchronized star jumps into a deserted pool with a man who had absolutely no expectations of her, nor she of him, well, that felt pretty much like bliss. They carried on jumping, the challenges getting more and more silly until Lydia was quite worn out, at which point Jake went to grab their things before leading her around another corner and down a deserted corridor. The corridor led to another pool, much smaller and shallower, with an array of different machines and equipment stacked against the walls surrounding it.
"This is the hydrotherapy pool," he said with a smile. "It's 6 degrees warmer than the diving pool, so think of it like a really big, low-budget hot tub."
She smiled. "Sounds fancy." And that crooked smile that she was growing so used to spread across his face in response. Lydia lowered herself to sit on the side of the pool, the water blissfully warm against her legs, and as she sank her body fully into the water, she felt every last ounce of her residual anxiety drift away on the gentle ripples of the water's surface. She looked over at Jake, now sitting on the other side of the pool a little away from her, and all at once she noticed something else about him. Something that, like the tattoo, she couldn't quite believe she had missed. "You're ripped," she said, completely unable to disguise the shock in her voice. He fixed her with a look as he slid his exceptionally sculpted body into the water.
"Elite sportsman, Lily,"
his head tilted to the side as he considered her.
"You seem to keep forgetting this."
She shrugged, a little sheepish. "I know, but the kind of sport you play in pubs, no? I thought..."
"You're thinking of darts."
She actually had been. "Ah, yes, sorry." But if Jake was offended, he didn't show it. Just took a deep breath and leaned backwards until he was floating, face up, arms and legs stretched as wide as they would go as the smile crept back onto his face. And he looked so content, just floating there with only his face and a little of his chest above the water, that she couldn't help but try it too. It was peaceful in the water, with the lick of small, warm waves against her face. After a while, her thoughts began to wander back to Adam, as they so often did. The image of the way he'd looked earlier that day was practically burned into her brain, so familiar, yet so foreign. She couldn't even put her finger on what was different, just the passing of time, perhaps. And then her thoughts drifted further, back to the throwaway comment he'd made as they were in that final awkward embrace. It had cut her to the core.
"Aurora knows a great personal trainer,"
he'd said, sinking familiar fingers into the flesh of her sides through the thin cotton of her shirt.
"I can pass on her details if you like. If you're dating now, you'll probably want to trim down a bit."
He hadn't been nasty about it. His tone had been quite pleasant, helpful almost, which had only made Lydia feel worse. She'd always been thin, helped by her delicate eating habits during the years that she had been with Adam. But somewhere between the loom of her late 30s and Aga and Basha's never-ending supply of cakes and pierogi, a few pounds had begun to creep on. She was still slim, she could see that. She just had to tuck bits in here and there now. Aga had been delighted. She'd been trying to fatten her daughter up for years. Even Ollie had been pleased. "You look really well these days, Mum," she'd said more than once. Adam had been the first person to comment on her weight gain as a negative, and it had thrown her. She'd laughed it off at the time, not wanting to cause a scene or anything. Adam would hate that. But something had brought the feeling back now, and all of a sudden it rushed through her, gripping at her lungs so fiercely that she panicked for a moment, standing up with a gasp as she fought to steady her breathing, to let the pressure of her feet against the tile ground her. Jake looked over, still floating, raising a single eyebrow.
"You okay?"
But all Lydia could do was nod, because she was okay. It didn't mean anything, and Adam was right, she probably could stand to lose a few pounds, especially if she wanted him back. She sighed, slipping back down into the water and resting her back against the scratch of the pool walls while she watched Jake float and tried not to think about anything beyond that. Jake's zen lasted somewhere in the region of 4 minutes, and then he spent the rest of their time in the pool cycling through a routine of handstands and somersaults and other moves so acrobatic that Lydia felt tired just watching him. She preferred to just bob around lazily, letting the soothing warmth of the water relax her. By the time they got out, she'd almost entirely forgotten about Adam's comment, focused instead on the fact that she was now nearly halfway through her list. Jumping off that platform had been her biggest challenge so far, and she had bloody done it. She mentally scanned the list as she attempted to style her mop as best she could with the leisure centre's pitiful hairdryer. She could only think of one thing left on the list that gripped cold fingers around her spine. 9. Do the scariest thing you can think of. But what was that? Obviously, it didn't mean literally the scariest thing you could think of. Having lost a sister and a husband, Lydia's mind was conditioned to jump to the worst possible scenario at any time. Even then, she had survived both those losses, so what was the scariest thing she could think of now? Being hacked to death by an axe murderer, perhaps, but that didn't make any sense at all in the context of the list. She had to think smaller. Bungee jumping? Shaving her head? She shuddered. She'd have to think about it. Jake was waiting by the vending machines when she emerged from the changing room, and he smiled as he saw her, pulling that red felt tip from his pocket as she neared. She took it with a grin, pulling the list out from its safe place in her purse and crossing a thick line through. 2, jump off the 10-metre diving board.
4 down,
he said, and she nodded, her smile growing. 5 to go. Aga was in the kitchen when Lydia got back to the house late that afternoon, standing over a huge bubbling pot which simmered on the hob while a distinctive musty smell hung in the air.
"Go on, Pki?"
Lydia asked hopefully. The mince-stuffed cabbage rolls were her absolute favourite. Aga nodded without looking away, popping another cabbage leaf into the pot. "That's good," Lydia continued. "Cause it smells pretty farty in here." Aga looked up at that, brandishing her paring knife as she fixed her daughter with a stare.
"Don't be vulgar, Mishko."
But Lydia just chuckled to herself as she skipped up the stairs to her room. Basha and Mila had arrived by the time Lydia came down an hour later, and Mila shot a small, sympathetic smile across the table as Lydia sat down. She'd sent them all a quick update after the meeting with Adam, and then she'd sent a separate message just to Mila with a whole string of crying face emojis. But she didn't feel so bad now, especially as she was about to fill her face with the very best comfort food of all. Aga, too, smiled at her daughter as she dished out a steaming plate of cabbage rolls for her. Lydia wasn't quite sure what to do with that. Aga Pearson was not a woman who smiled often. Bashir's face was set in a soft expression as she looked over.
So, Slitka?
But Lydia only took the jug of thick tomatoey sauce with a grateful smile. If sympathy came in the way of food, she would take it. Aga didn't even bat an eyelid as Lydia buttered Bashir's freshly baked rye bread with a particularly thick layer of butter. This was almost worth a spot of heartbreak.
You know, I never liked Adam to begin with,
Aga blurted to stares across the table from Bashir and Mila. Lydia couldn't help the small snort that escaped her. Obviously, I'm pretty sure you told him that to his face, Aga harumphed.
Hiding the truth is no better than a lie.
A small blade of guilt sliced into Lydia's ribcage.
It doesn't matter, though,
Bashir said, all eyelids and cheeks as she smiled kindly at Lydia.
You have Jake now.
Yes, thought Lydia, as that thought tempered the flare of her conscience in her chest. She did have Jake now, even if it wasn't in the way that her family thought. We ticked another thing off my list today, she said, the pride in her voice completely genuine. I jumped off the 10-metre diving board. Three pairs of eyes widened. That's amazing, Lydka, two voices said at the same time as one said,
Mishko, that seems dangerous.
And the contrast made Lydia laugh out loud as her mother's face set in a frown.
When will we be meeting him?
Aga asked, her voice serious.
I'm worried about these crazy things he has you doing.
Again, Lydia said, he isn't making me do anything. We're just doing things that were already written on my list. He wasn't even involved in that bit. Neither, of course, was Lydia, but she didn't mention that. Next Friday, Mila said, her eyes widening subtly as they met Lydia's. Lids is bringing him to dinner with me and Tosh next Friday. Yes, Lydia agreed quickly. Next Friday. And though Aga's mouth pinched with suspicion, she nodded her approval. Now all Lydia had to do was to make it happen. Chapter 18. Lydia couldn't wait to tell Ollie about her diving achievements. Distanced by the passing of time, she'd built it up in her head until she imagined herself jumping high in the air and then falling down and down and down for 10 seconds or more like some kind of stunt woman. Ollie would be so proud of her bravery. But Ollie hadn't replied to her texts for a couple of days. She hadn't even commented on the video Lydia had uploaded to Instagram of Jake counting down 1, 2 and then of Lydia plunging into the depths of the pool below. By the time Ollie finally did call, almost a week later, Lydia was beside herself. She nearly did herself a mischief trying to get to her laptop on time. I thought you were dead in a ditch somewhere, she cried, relief catching in her throat as the image of her daughter flickered onto the screen. Ollie visibly winced. She was no stranger to Lydia's anxiety about such matters, and ordinarily very conscious not to aggravate it. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mum. I've been on a remote beach in Indonesia. Couldn't get signal. She shrugged, the movement making sun-bleached waves fall into her face. Just got back into the main town today and I got all 26 of your messages at once, she winced. I didn't mean to make you worry. Lydia couldn't stay mad at that face for long. Oh, it's okay, I just needed to talk to you and couldn't get hold of you. You know my brain goes straight to worst case scenario. I know, Ollie said with a smile. I'm sorry, talk to me now. And with a sigh of relief, Lydia did. From the awkward lunch with Adam, the weird hint of jealousy followed by him bringing up the divorce, plus, of course, the very important news that based on their pool date, Jake had been upgraded to a grade A hottie. Ollie was delighted by that.
So, divorce, huh?
Ollie said, completely failing to look shocked. You knew? She nodded.
Dad told me. But you knew that was always his intention.
I know, Lydia said with a sigh. I guess I just hoped he'd change his mind. Sorrow tugged at the edges of the smile she'd been able to muster. I still hope that, honestly. Ollie nodded.
You'll be okay either way, you know.
Maybe, Lydia replied, a harumph in her tone.
Maybe not.
Ollie raised an eyebrow.
Let's recap. So, since I flew out here, you've been on a roller coaster, climbed a mountain, ridden a horse, and now jumped off a high diving board.
Her face filled the chat frame.
That's literally more excitement than I've known you to have ever.
Tanned cheeks popped a dimple as her smile broke out.
Except the occasional times you buy the cocktail gherkins instead of the big ones and try to convince Babsha that's all they had in the shop.
Lydia couldn't hide her smile. I always get away with it, though.
Every time you think you've got away with it,
Ollie said, pushing a stray curl out of her face.
You haven't.
Oh, you're probably right, Lydia said with a smile.
She's like Mystic Bloody Meg.
Ollie screwed her face up.
Ew.
And Lydia changed the subject quickly before her daughter made her feel even more elderly. So, I'm going surfing in a couple of days. Ollie's eyes nearly popped out of her head.
That's the next adventure. Loved your diving vid, by the way.
Yup, Lydia replied. And it's the last scary one until the really scary one.
Have you figured out what you're going to do for that one yet?
Lydia shook her head. And her daughter shrugged in response.
Surfing, though,
Ollie said, her eyes widening.
I can see Jake as a surfer, actually.
Lydia nodded her agreement. He says he's never tried it before, but he says that about everything and then turns out to be some kind of natural bloody genius at it. Ollie's face changed then, a strange, faraway expression taking over her features, and Lydia wasn't sure what to make of it. What's that look for? But Ollie only shook her head.
I like who you are when you're with Jake.
Lydia huffed.
I'm not with Jake. You know what I mean,
her daughter said, her smile growing.
You talk about him the same way you talk about Tosh or about Babsha.
Lydia's brows pinched together in confusion. Which means?
Which means, Ollie said. But you're you when you're with him.
Lydia didn't catch her drift. She was too busy comparing Jake and Aga. Surely she didn't talk about them the same way. Tosh, perhaps, she'd accept that one.
You're not even listening to me.
Ollie's voice cut through Lydia's thoughts.
What?
She snapped to attention.
I am.
Ollie raised an eyebrow.
What did I just say then?
Lydia knew she didn't have a leg to stand on.
I don't know. Aha!
Ollie pointed an accusatory finger straight at the screen.
Well, now you'll never know, will you?
Lydia blew a kiss back at her and Ollie stuck her tongue out for a couple of seconds before breaking down into a giggle. And there was nothing Lydia could do but smile in return. Lydia was still pondering the similarities between Aga and Jake as she stood on Tosh and Mila's doorstep with him the following evening, the oppressive warmth of an unexpected heatwave making sweat bead on her lip. But if she were being really honest, even she would have admitted that wasn't the only reason she was sweating.
Tosh might be a bit standoffish, she said, frantically running down a list of warnings, as anxious as if she were introducing a real boyfriend to her family. He always hated Adam, which I think was just that protective big brother thing.
Jake's forehead crinkled in concentration.
Tosh is your brother?
No, she said, but also kind of yes.
Makes sense,
he said, his scar catching at that smile.
But he's older than you.
No, she said again. He's 3 weeks younger. He'll probably bring that up. Jake laughed, an easy sound.
I'm confused.
Don't worry, she replied, cracking a smile while she fanned herself fruitlessly with one hand. They know we're not really together, so you don't even have to act. Just be you.
Got it,
he replied, just as the door opened and Mila ushered them both in, radiant in a floor-length sundress that Lydia had never seen her wear before, her mid-blonde hair freshly washed. You must be Jake, she said, and moved to kiss him lightly on each cheek.
Sorry about that,
Tosh said a moment before he appeared.
We're Polish, all about the kissing, you know.
He moved Clara to one arm, holding the other hand out towards Jake.
I'm Tosh. Jake,
Jake replied, grasping Tosh's hand and then bursting into a full laugh when Tosh used the leverage to pull him forwards, planting a loud kiss on Jake's cheek. Mila blushed furiously, but Tosh and Lydia were laughing along with Jake, who hadn't let go of Tosh's hand and was now shaking it, clapping him on the upper arm as he did. I warned you, Lydia managed between her giggles.
It's all true,
Tosh said, still smiling. Jake had obviously passed his test. If Jake was fazed by any of Tosh's antics, he didn't show it. He just returned Tosh's smile as he gestured towards the infant who had been watching the whole carry on from Tosh's hip.
And who is this little lady?
This is Clara, Mila gushed, reaching for her daughter, who burst into spontaneous giggles between her nonsensical babbling, grabbing at Mila's hair with chubby fingers.
Hey, Clara,
Jake said, reaching a hooked finger to tickle her lightly on one cheek. Clara eyed him with concern for a beat before breaking into a huge, gummy grin. Jake had obviously passed Clara's test too.
She's completely adorable, by the way,
Jake said, beaming back at the infant.
How old is she?
Lydia could almost see Tosh's chest puff out with pride as he replied.
She'll be 6 months old tomorrow, actually.
Jake let out a little squeal.
Happy half-birthday, kiddo.
He turned to Tosh.
I actually have a nephew almost the same age.
And that was it. Tosh was away, talking Jake's ear off as he took him on a tour of the house, which took much longer than it really should have in a house that literally had 6 rooms. You were right, Mila said as they heard the two of them laughing about something or other in one of the upstairs rooms. I like him. Looks like Tosh does too, Lydia said with a chuckle. Shame he's not my real boyfriend. Tosh always hated Adam. Mila nodded. He's never told me why, you know. She leaned back on the kitchen counter, adjusting her sundress against the humidity of the evening. All he'll say on the matter is that he and Adam never saw eye to eye. Never elaborates. Personality clash, I suppose, Lydia said, although she knew Tosh well enough to know there was a deeper reason. But he'd never shared it with her either. Maybe he never would. She'd long since given up trying to understand the inner workings of Tosh's mind. On a different note, Mila started, dropping her voice so low that Lydia had to move closer to her in order to hear. I'm very interested in the message you sent us earlier. Lydia winced. Jake doesn't know my name is Lydia, the message had read. He thinks I'm called Lily, so please play along. Long story, we'll explain later. Is now later? Mila asked, raising a single eyebrow. Lydia shook her head. I promise I'll explain, but not now. Mila nodded, slowly, as if her acceptance was reluctant, and she opened her mouth to speak only to be interrupted by the thundering of 2 pairs of feet on the stairs.
Great place,
they heard Jake say, followed by Tosh's reply, oozing with pride.
Thanks, man. We've had to do a lot of work on it, but it's finally paying off. Definitely,
Jake said, as they rounded the corner and came back into the kitchen.
I love it.
They moved out to the garden then, the early evening sun still surprisingly strong against Lydia's cheeks. She dreaded to think how many freckles she'd have by the end of the day. Tosh and Mila's garden was relatively small, but they'd worked hard to make it into an inviting space, and they definitely pulled it off. There was a decked seating area nearest the house, and then a small square of grass that led down to a pastel blue potting shed, and a small but usually very prolific vegetable patch. This year, Clara's arrival had impeded Tosh's growing plans significantly, but there were still a few small clusters of carrots and beetroots and radishes, which Basia had planted for them, as well as two generous tubs full of potatoes. Jake expressed an interest in growing as soon as he saw the raised beds, which took Lydia a little by surprise, and he and Tosh were soon embroiled in a lively discussion about the hardiest variety of each seasonal crop. By the time the food arrived an hour or so later, the two men were fast friends. They'd opted for Thai takeaway, Lydia's absolute favourite. She'd sold it as a good way to save Tosh and Mila the stress of cooking, what with neither of them sleeping more than 4 hours a night, but she would have been lying if she'd said that was her only motivation. Lydia and the men set up the table outside as Mila was still settling a drowsy Clara down for the night, and when Mila reappeared after an unusually short amount of time, they sat down to eat. Jake had been quite happy to eat in their usual manner, a big selection of food in the middle of the table that they all shared, which particularly pleased Lydia, as Adam had always insisted on having his own dish. They ate tom yum soup and pad thai and Penang curry with two different beef dishes and as much sticky rice as they could face, and then afterwards they sat, drinking lazily in the haze of the evening heat.
So, Jake said, leaning back in his chair, why am I not allowed to meet the whole family?
Lydia laughed. It's more a case of why would you want to?
I'll tell them you said that, Tosh said, his first two beers in a few months going straight to his head. Ags will have kittens.
Ags? Jake asked, looking at Lydia quizzically. My mum, Agatha, Lydia said, shrugging a little. Aga, if she likes you. Tosh is the only person in existence who can get away with calling her Ags. I wouldn't recommend it. Tosh laughed, shaking his head.
She's a pussycat.
Actually, she is a pussycat, Lydia replied, taking another sip of her drink. She's got sharp claws and she hisses at everyone. Mila laughed at that, but Tosh shook his head, leaning over the arm of his chair towards Jake.
Ignore her, man. Ags would just feed you pierogi and ask how much you earn. Nothing to be scared of.
Jake smiled at his new buddy and then turned his attention back to Lydia, who was now sitting straight across from him, resting her bare feet casually on the low wall next to Jake's chair.
You know, I was surprised to find out you were Polish, Lil. Benny is such an English surname.
Tosh nearly choked on his mouthful of beer. Lydia saw Mila shoot him a look in her periphery.
I'm half Polish, Lydia said with what she hoped was a casual smile. My dad is English, hence the English surname.
To her credit, all of that was true. And Jake, to Lydia's endless gratitude, accepted her words without question, a faraway smile playing at his lips before he spoke again.
I visited Poland a few times when I lived in Germany. Amazing food. There you go,
Tosh said with a smile, wiping the last remnants of beer off his chin.
That's all you need to say to get in with the family.
He's right, Mila said. They're feeders, the lot of them. They are, Lydia nodded, pulling her skirt away from her clammy legs.
I hope you like cured meat and wind-producing vegetables.
They're my favourite kind of vegetables,
Jake replied, one eye narrowing into that almost wink Lydia had seen him do a few times. Tosh laughed much louder than was reasonable. They were interrupted just then by the jolt of a tiny wail over the baby monitor. Tosh moved first, but Mila held a palm out to stop him.
It's okay, I'll go, she smiled gently. She'll probably want feeding anyway.
I'll come too, if you two are okay here, Lydia asked, looking between Jake and Tosh, who both nodded effusively. It was a little cooler inside, and Lydia hung back a little while Mila settled Clara and got her latched on, before lying down on the comparative cool of the nursery floor, eyes closed.
So, Mila said, reaching over to switch off the baby monitor. About your message?
Lydia groaned inwardly.
Don't tell Tosh. You know I will.
Lydia's eyes fluttered open, not quite a roll.
Oh, fine, but when you do, pretend you haven't. I don't need him judging me.
Mila cocked an eyebrow, but she didn't speak.
Right, so you know that the bucket list I've been ticking off was never mine to start off with?
Mila nodded. Lydia took a deep breath.
Well, the writer of the list is called Lily Bennett, and I was reading her list the first time I ever met Jake, and he just assumed that I was Lily and that it was my list, and I never corrected him.
Okay.
And now, Lydia said with a wince, all of a sudden feeling the full weight of her predicament, now it's gone much too far for me to correct him.
You think? Mila said, incredulity in her voice, although her expression stayed soft.
So, Lydia continued, feeling defeat grate at her voice, now I'm just going to have to pretend to be someone else for the whole time I know Jake.
What could go? Mila started, but before she could finish, Clara pulled back with an audible pop, sending small streams of breast milk shooting halfway across the room.
Oh, shit,
Mila muttered, grabbing for the muslin.